What is good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Respectfully. I am your host, Cam Farmer. And with me today is my friend, the one who has always kept it a buck with me in Kennesaw, is Miss Bethany Fortson. How are you, Bethany?
What's up? Doing good. Super excited to be here today.
It's a pleasure to have you. Before we get into basketball and things of that nature, I kind of want to just talk about a few things, ask you a couple questions about what you're doing now, and a plot twist, because there's something I gotta talk to you about for real. But what exactly have you been up to since graduation? You know, I know you got your bachelor's in exercise science. So what exactly have you been up to since then?
So shout out to Kennesaw where we did our undergrad. I graduated with a bachelor's of science and exercise science with a minor in nutritional science. And now I'm in grad school at Georgia State right down the road getting a master's in sports administration. So yeah, I've just been working, going to school, doing the whole thing again.
I understand completely. So aren't you, you're a grad assistant, right?
Yeah. So I work at the rec center at Georgia State doing like fitness operations. So it's pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah. So what's a couple differences being at Georgia State now, than being in Kennesaw?
Yeah, well, location, definitely, like, Kennesaw's in the suburbs, Georgia State's in the smack dabs, like, center of downtown. So there's pros and cons to that, too. Like, one cool thing is, like, me and my classmate, we literally, like, walked from campus to this game the other night, and we, like, rode scooters back. So that's, like, one thing that's super cool is, like, the location. It's in downtown, which is like different, especially for me since I'm from a small town, but it's definitely a plus.
No, for sure. No, that's what's up, because at UGA, I see a whole lot of people riding scooters, and it's like, even though Athens, Athens, I mean, that's where you're from, like Athens is a very small town, but the campus itself is really big. So like let me ask you a question. Like, where do you park your scooter? Because I know I know people who ride scooters don't just take them in the building and just leave their scooters there.
Well, it's not my scooter. It was like a Lime scooter. So like people, ride them where you need to and like leave it on the sidewalk.
Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot more sense now. Yeah. Makes a lot more sense. So what made you want to pursue your master's degree in sports administration?
Yeah, so I have been wanting to work in sports for like a long time. It kind of matriculated over the years. First, I wanted to be like an orthopedic doctor. I was real in like my Grey's Anatomy phase. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to be a athletic trainer. That way I can like go to the games, still get the medicine in, and then just live my best life. But I worked as a trainer at KSU, as well as like got into business while being SGA president. And I really enjoyed the business side, and like it seemed like I had a knack for leadership. So I wanted to get more on the leadership and engagement side of it.
Yeah, no, like speaking on that SGA stuff, yeah, I know you all were heavily involved. You and Jana, shout out Jana. Very yeah, we got a shout out Jana, man. You know, she the real one, for real.
Yes.
But no, I know you all were heavily involved in the business side of SGA. So I guess my next question is like, what particular avenue of sports do you want to go in terms of the business? Do you want to be collegiate? Do you want to be like an athletic director? Do you want to be in the pros, like a general manager, or, you know, kind of work your way up in the ranks type of thing? Or you want to stay local? You want to, you know, stay back in Atlanta? You want to come back home, the whole? What avenue do you anticipate to go in, or have you kind of like thought about that yet?
Yeah, well, I do. I actually think about it a lot. It's wide open right now, which is something that's really cool. I would love to like work back in higher ed, just because it gave like so much to me. I would love to like give back in that way. But also like being in Atlanta and like being around the pro sports, like I see it so differently because it's like just the business. So yeah, I don't know. It's wide open, but I really definitely like would love to be back on a college campus working someday.
Absolutely. Like, are your options limited? Like, do you want to stay in Georgia or wherever the money takes you at this point?
Oh no, wherever. I applied for a job at Colorado last year. I knew I wasn't going to get it, but I was like, man, Deion's going up there. Let me see if I can go too.
Yeah. No, that's facts, man. I actually talked to my dad about that. I was like, hey, dad, what if I worked at in Colorado, you know, like, because you know it's live. I know you watch the games. You know it's live up there. So, but yeah, no, that's really good. So I guess my next question, kind of keeping it up, you know, with the ranks of like leadership, what about leadership has prepared you for obtaining your master's degree? Because as a fellow master's degree candidate,
yeah,
graduate school is not easy. But how has your time in student government, you know, because I've seen you, you know, you've worked tirelessly to make sure that people at Kennesaw was taken care of, but how has your experience with SGA and other leadership positions kind of helped you cope with the fact that there are going to be challenges in grad school when I, you know, obtain this master's degree? Like, how has that helped you?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it gave me a lot of like problem solving skills, just to be like, I don't know, super blunt. But like, yeah, because there would be problems like all the time. People need stuff. And it's just like, it was overwhelming, but also like it prepared me for like the things that I'm having to go through now. Even like some of the things that I had to do, like public speaking and like presenting and running meetings. Like I've had like 3 presentations in like the past 2 weeks for my classes, and my classmates are like, oh, I'm like so nervous about going up and speaking in front of the class. And I'm like, oh, well, this is nothing. Like, I can get up and talk for 8 minutes easy. So yeah. It's just like things like that have like really helped me. And then also the time management, like when I was SGA president, I like lived in my Outlook calendar, and like I still, even though I'm like not as busy, so it's a little harder. But like I still like put all the things in my calendar and like make sure I'm doing like what I'm supposed to be doing at that time.
Sure. No, I understand. And I know how you did a great job of managing your time well as SGA president, because not a lot of people, you know, are ready for that job. I'm not, and I was a senator, you know, and being us, and you know, I succeeded you as a senator of Wellstar, but you know, I know how demanding it is. But what other skills, and this is my last question before we get into kind of the plot twist and then we get into the pros, but what skills do you, or let me ask you, do you feel that you've developed any new skills that kind of shocked you in a way that's like, oh wow, I didn't know I could do that, and you just kept building on top from there?
I would say like kind of yes and no. Like some things I feel like have just like built naturally, and I like haven't even noticed. Like sometimes I won't even notice until someone points it out. Like I forget there was like something I was doing in Excel, and like it wasn't intentional for all the numbers to like add up perfectly and right, but they ended up like adding up right and being in perfect sequence. And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, I didn't even realize that I was doing it like that. So like, that's something that's cool. And then honestly, the biggest thing is just being organized. Like, yeah, I used to not know where anything was. Like all my school stuff would be like all over the place. I was a bad student in undergrad, to be quite honest. So I see myself now, like, I'm such a better student now. Like, I know when my due dates are. I'm, like, getting stuff turned in early instead of, like, at the last minute. So, yeah, being more organized.
That's good. Yeah, no, I hear you. I'm still learning. I feel like I'm a decent organized person, but I'm still learning. But okay, that's really good. And I wanted to ask you those questions because I wanted our viewers to get some idea as to who you are and what you stand on. But yeah.
And
on to other news.
Go ahead. People too don't even know, like, while I was being SGA president, I was also, like, working a job and, like, volunteering with, like, KSU football too. So there's, like, lots of things going on in my life.
Yeah. No, I can attest. I mean, you were SGA president. You had to be everywhere, and you, on top of, you were working a full time, you know, you were working a job, you know, you had bills to pay and things of that nature. And on top of that, you were a full time student, you know, trying to get your bachelor's degree, and that to balance that, that's a no comment. You know how it is.
Anybody, and honestly, everyone that has at least been in one full semester of college, y'all know it's a struggle sometimes.
It is. But what you have proven is that anybody, you know, with the right in the right headspace, anybody can do it. They just got to keep telling themselves. You just got to keep pushing, man, at the end of the day. But no, I see you, man. You've been doing it, like, real talk. Now we kind of got to get to the plot twist, because before, when I met you, you know, you told me that you played basketball and things of that nature. There is playing basketball, but there's also hooping.
Hooping.
I ain't know you could hoop, Bethany.
What do you mean?
So a few weeks ago, I want to say it was probably the second to last week of October.
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably about a month or so after I had asked you to be on the show. And I just type in your name on Google, Bethany Fortson. So I see... I see your huddle highlights, and because, you know, you played at Madison County High School.
Shout
out Madison. Hey, y'all had a good player. I see your highlights.
We had a great team. Oh my god, we should have won it all.
I actually have, like, I seen your highlights. Like, you were an offensive threat, and you were a defensively sound, Bethany. Like, how the way you shift your feet and you were moving your hands, and how you picked the ball when people were dribbling. I'm like, like, this is
girls,
Bethany.
Like, D1 girls, like, cookies on lockdown whole time. Yeah, I wasn't giving up none of that.
Bethany on the ground, like, she's diving for the ball, and that's good though, because, like, when you dive for the ball, that shows how much you really want it. So I have your team records from all 4 years that you played. 2015, 2016, it was 10, y'all were 10-17.
Yeah.
2016 and 2017. Yeah. 2016, 2017, y'all were 15-15, so y'all, you know, had a better season. 2017 and 2018, y'all were 22-7. And then your last year, y'all were 25-3.
Yeah, man.
Bethany.
That last year, the last 2 years, that was supposed to be it.
Bethany. and then there was one particular game in your senior year. You played Meadow Creek. And y'all dropped 65 on them, and they only had 8.
I remember that game. Yeah, that was at a tournament.
You held them to 8 points?
Honestly,
Bethany, y'all like that?
It wasn't even that, like, they weren't a good team. It's just, like, I don't know. Yeah, I think it was, like, a new basketball team or something, like...
Yeah.
But it'd be something, like, team. I remember, I think it might have been my senior year or my junior year, like, we was up like 70 something to like 20 something on Oconee County in like the third quarter. Yeah. We didn't even play the fourth quarter. Like all of our like younger players played.
Bethany, y'all like that? What?
Man, we had Jordan Bailey, who's at Liberty right now.
Yeah.
Kayla McPherson, who's at North Carolina.
Yeah.
She was McDonald's.
She is.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Bethany. That is 2019. Like, for those of you who want to actually look at her highlights, go on Google and type in Bethany Fortson.
Google me. A lot of come up.
A lot of come up for real. Like what she does, what she did at Kennesaw, her Insta, like obviously her Instagram gonna come up and stuff like that. But like her stuff, like what she did at Kennesaw when she was a president, when she was senator. But you also got her huddle highlights and max preps. You can never go wrong with max preps. I'm gonna tell you that right now. So like, what led to? Because obviously, you know, y'all grew every single season. So kind of talk about what led to you all's is like resurgence. Because in 2018, y'all had a good record, 22-7. But in 2019, y'all were 25-3. So what happened? Like, were y'all in the gym the entire summer? Like, were y'all hit? Like, what happened?
Yeah, well, let me tell you, like, one thing about being in a small town. Like, whoever you're going to play with, you're going to play with them forever. So, the girls on that team, we have been playing basketball with each other since we were, like, probably five or six or, like, six or seven. Like, I got pictures of, like, the core members of that team, like, in all-star jerseys, like, as kids and everything. So, one thing, like, we just had great chemistry because, like, we all just knew each other. We grew up together. Another thing, like, so I say, like, those first 2 years, we were a super young team. Like, first year, like, that little core part was, like, freshman and, like, sophomore. We had Adriana Maxwell. She was a sophomore when we were freshmen. She was went to Emmanuel, too, to play basketball, too, for a little while. But we were, like, super young. And then... so that's that, was that 2016, 2017, around those 2 years. And then in 2018, yeah. I think that's when Kayla came on.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I see the whole jump because in 2016 and 17, your combined record was 25-32, but in 2018 and 2019, your record was literally 47-10. Like,
yeah,
that's.
And I think even too, like in that, 2017, I feel like,
yeah.
I don't quite remember, but I don't think we were like getting blown out. Like the games, I'm pretty sure were close. So we were like on the cups of like having more winning seasons and winning more games. It was just like, we were so super young and inexperienced. Like sophomores, like half of us couldn't even drive yet.
Facts. Yeah. No, I see that. Like, obviously, you know, takes time to gel, but y'all have been playing together since y'all were 5 and 6. But obviously, I think it was 16-17 when y'all were losing, like when y'all lose games, y'all, it wasn't a blowout. It wasn't as bad. Y'all were competitive throughout the entire seasons. So obviously those tough games that you lose are obviously they're tough to swallow, but at the same time, 2018 and 2019, like y'all were them. So in 2019, when y'all were 25-3, what happened to y'all not winning the state championship?
Oh man, so it was a lot. So like I said earlier, like after that sophomore season when Kayla came on, yeah, we were already being competitive in games or we're losing by like 6 to 10 points. Kayla adds another 30 to that. So that's where we're you know, starting to see winning like more games and like blow more people out. So Kayla adds to that. And then in that last season, 2018, 2019, man, we just kept getting hit with injuries. I think either one of Kayla or Jordan, like one of them, like literally broke their hand. Somebody like something. I think one of them had a concussion. Like, yeah, it just people. We just had injuries. Yeah, and even they try to play. We try to play through it, but it's like when you got, you know, both of your stars out with injuries, and then for us, it's like our senior year, and people are getting still a little tired.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I understand, man. I mean, oof, I understand, bro. Oh my God, that's like the Clippers, but we ain't talking about that. But like, what? So did you ever? Obviously, y'all had a great season that year. Was there ever any consideration to go to the next level to play for you?
For me, yeah, I had a couple offers, but honestly, like the places that were that was talking to me and looking at me, they were just so far away, and they weren't able to like offer me the same experience that I would have got like coming to Kennesaw. And that was kind of the big thing for me. It's like, if I'm still gonna have to pay a little bit to go and play ball, like I'd rather just go to school closer to my family and like be a little more comfortable.
Sure. Did you ever, when you were at Kennesaw, was there ever any, you know, walk on
I mean, like looking back, I wish I would have like still done something competitive, like club basketball, or like, I don't know, being a student athlete like in college is next level. So I don't know if I would have wanted to take on that that much, but like looking back, I'm like, dang, I wish I could have done like club, or should have done club basketball or something like that. I got a opportunity before I graduated to play like basketball tournament for like FSL, and of course like we won. So that
absolutely
was fun. So
I
wish I would have like had more opportunities to do that stuff.
I understand, man, but I just want to say that I like how, you know, obviously your first year you all kept building, and I think what I also liked about you guys, obviously, you know, your senior year when your two stars went out, I know that was a big shot to the gut, big punch to the gut. But you know, to see you maintain your professionalism and still go out there and compete as hard as you can, I mean, there's nothing better than that. So yeah, that's awesome, man. So what made you, because I was looking at your highlights, and you shot the ball from the corner three a lot, and you made them a lot. And I remember you and I having a conversation, and I was doing intramurals, and you said, I was like, yeah, I like that corner three, man. You said, yeah, I know that corner three fire, ain't it, Cam? I was like, yeah, it is. But I was like, I know Bethany plays basketball, but I know she played. I knew you played, but when I saw your highlights, I was like, oh, now I know why she was agreeing with me on the corner three. So what made the corner three so special to you? Was that just your shot, or, you know, was that just your favorite place to shoot at, knowing that you can make, because you also hit a couple bank shots as well.
Yeah, like the corner, that was just kind of like my spot. Like, based off the plays that we ran, that was just like always a spot I ended up with. And with people always like being on Jordan and Kayla, like that was just kind of my role to like, you know, hit the three when you're open or when they need you. So the corner three, that just became my spot. We did this drill like at practice, and we would like literally just shoot threes from different spots for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I just practice, yeah.
Absolutely. So I guess my last question about your high school career is, do you ever see yourself being a coach?
Oh, no.
Knowing you know the game?
No.
You said no on the spot, huh?
No. I don't have enough patience. I know that. Yeah.
I understand. Well, on to other news. We're gonna jump into college football and a little bit of the Falcons before we head into our final topic, which is the NBA. I guess we're gonna start with the Falcons first, because I'm gonna be completely honest with you. They just benched Desmond Ridder, their starter, for Taylor Heinicke. You said something. I'm not gonna repeat what you said because I want you to say it.
Oh yeah.
You said something that really hit home, that I also agree with you on. So I asked to tell the people what you are sick and tired of,
man,
from the Atlanta Falcons.
I said, I'm tired of seeing Koo being player of the week every week. Like, I will say, like, Paul talked to him, like, great kicker. But, like, why is our kicker being the star of the week multiple weeks in a row? Like, I need some action.
Bethany, your guess is good as mine. I mean, obviously, Koo, you know, Young Way, he's a great kicker. But I don't recall the last time we had somebody in the NFC or on our team win NFC Player of the Week that wasn't a kicker. You know, like, we haven't had a QB probably since Matt Ryan. We probably right receivers probably since Julio Jones. Hopefully Drake London, you know, and Drake London. Hopefully Kyle Pitts soon. I don't really know what Arthur Smith is planning to do with him. But anyways, yeah, I am low key tired of seeing Young Way. Not saying he doesn't deserve it, because obviously when Atlanta's running game and passing game can't finish the job, Young Way does it. He's done it a plethora of times. But that's not that's the bad news. But, like, the good news is we have another football team in Georgia that is exceeding expectations. So what's been some things that's really stood out to you about Bulldog football throughout this season?
Yeah, honestly, just the way that they've been able to adapt to the adversity. I know, like, this is the first season with the new quarterback. So just, you know, adapting and, like, getting the mold and, like, getting the gel and chemistry together. There's some new, like, running back. There's some new young stars and wide receiver stars. I know Brock Bowers was injured. Yes. Yeah. So, like, yeah, you know, having Ladd McConkey step up, just dealing with that adversity. These games, I know, like, these guys are, like, used to being in, like, kind of blowout games and easy games, so to speak. But, I mean, these games have been tough, and they've been, like, proving their grit and tenacity.
No, I agree. Obviously, when Brock was injured, it hurt. But I think with Carson Beck, our new quarterback, he's stepped up in ways that people think he couldn't. So I guess my next question to you is, what was your initial reaction to Brock Bowers being injured?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to lie. I didn't know he was injured because I wasn't able to catch that game. So my sister told me on the phone. and I'm not going to lie. I was like, you know, she told me about his injury. It's an ankle injury.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. Like, ankle's not too bad. Like, he'll be all right. Then I'm like, okay, but we still have other tight ends. I wasn't too worried about it because I know one thing about Georgia is they have that depth chart. So, and we've seen Ladd McConkey step up in the last week too.
Absolutely. I think last week was probably Ladd's best game of the season. Obviously, it's easy to count out Georgia when they don't have their star players, but Kirby and Mike Bobo, their OC, has done a good job of getting these dudes ready. And obviously, now with this weekend, the college football planking, the college football playoff, Georgia is number two, and they're not number one. Ohio State is number one.
They always.
What is your initial reaction? Like, what? Like, because let me see. Like, because Ohio State was one, Georgia's two, Michigan is three, and Florida State is four. So what is your reaction to Georgia being number two, especially when in my personal, and I'm not just saying this because I go to the school and all that, but Georgia has better weapons then Ohio State, then Michigan. Michigan got blown out by TCU last year because they were so focused on Georgia. So what was your initial reaction to Georgia being ranked number two?
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised. Like, they always do this to UGA. Like, but yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. And I will say, like, one thing that I have thought about, Georgia in the past couple years has been a real defensive powerhouse, and we've kind of like not stepped away, but we're not at that same level that we were like 2 to 3 years ago when we were holding teams to like 3 points or 0 points or a touchdown a game. So I think some people are like, this isn't the same Georgia. And no, it isn't, but it's still a Georgia that's winning and dominating too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Before we move on to NBA, what is your prediction for this Saturday's game when Missouri comes to town? What is your final score prediction?
Final score? I haven't watched the Missouri game, but I'm going to say Georgia, say 35-14 or 17.
Okay. 35-17. All right. I got that booked right now. So I'll text you and, you know, see how close you got to the score. But on to other news, the final topic of the evening, because I know Miss Bethany has to get going. But NBA, you've known me long enough to know how much I am passionate about the NBA, in particular Kawhi Leonard and the Los Angeles Clippers. But what has been, what's been your favorite storyline of this NBA season? You know, Dame's in Milwaukee. James Harden got traded to the Clippers.
Yes.
You know, what's been your favorite storyline so far?
Honestly, and tell the people not to hate me because I'm not a bandwagon. I'm young. But the Warriors, my team, I've been keeping up with them. Man, they had the drama in the locker room last season, and I'm seeing how it's playing out now. I've been keeping up with the Warriors, the Chris Paul trade, how their chemistry's coming along. Seeing like what their team's gonna look like. I'm honestly not worried about them as long as they have Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green. They're always gonna be like competitive. Whoever else they add just, you know, enhances that. So that's what I'm looking at. It's funny you ask because I actually just did a project on Jordan Poole and Draymond Green.
So now, obviously, Jordan Poole, he's with Washington. He's with the Wizards now. What was the initial project about?
Oh, the project. It's a sports organizational class. So we talked about my project was over group behavior and conflict. Conflict resolution or conflict management. Group behavior and conflict management. So I talked about conflict, how to resolve conflict, dynamics and how groups developed, and then did our case study with Draymond and Jordan Poole and the Warriors.
Okay. Dope. So we'll keep it on the Warriors for the next few minutes. So what was your reaction? Obviously you bring in Chris Paul, you know, who's being traded, who was brought in from Phoenix by way of Washington. What were your initial reactions to Chris Paul being traded and playing alongside Steph, Klay, and Dre?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it's a great move. Like, you've got Chris Paul now that can play PG, freeing up Steph to be just a shooting guard, just a guard. So we've seen their, like, movement, their ball movement, and their off-the-ball movement, too. So I think having him and Klay just moving constantly all the time, I think that's going to be great for them because they have they have Chris Paul to kind of fill that gap where it's taking the responsibility off Steph or off Klay to like make sure their plays and stuff get going. So I think that's something I'm interested in. And honestly, I think Chris Paul like is just he's a veteran player, so I think he knows how to just play his role when it comes to being on this Warriors team. He's not coming in trying to be the face of the franchise or like shake stuff up. Like from the looks of it, I saw on Sportsnet earlier, they just look happy to be winning, which I'm sure Chris Paul is, and he hasn't won a ring yet. So I'm hoping, I'm rooting for them, for him too.
I agree. I think anybody who knows the game, you know, knows how much Chris Paul has made other teams better and in a way has led them to deep playoff runs. And in particular, as a recent memory, the Phoenix Suns, when they went to the finals a few years ago. So that's good. Does it not worry you, but does it like kind of get you a little bit nervous for the teams that they're going to be facing, you know, knowing that they'll make the playoffs? Does it worry or kind of puts a little fear in you that their every game that they've played has been competitive, except for Houston, because we saw what Steph did to Dylan Brooks. It's disrespectful. But does it, outside of them, does it kind of, like, how do you feel knowing that every game this season has been competitive? Like, what comes up in your mind, you know, when you see that?
Yeah, honestly, it doesn't quite worry me too much with the Warriors, just because, you know, first they're kind of getting used to their new team, their new addition. They just added another all-star. So it's going to take some gelling and getting used to. And, you know, it just doesn't worry me because I know, like, Klay and Steph, they're veteran players, and Draymond and Chris Paul, they're veteran players. They know kind of when it's time to stop messing around and turn it up, so to say, to speak. So, no, I think it's going to be competitive, but at the end of the day, like, once they get all that chemistry and that gelling together and get in their rhythm, I think they're going to be pretty unstoppable.
No, I agree. We've seen what they can do when Draymond and is setting the proper screens for Steph and Klay, and really for anybody, to be honest with you, because we've seen how lethal they can be. Steph, I will be honest with you, they have to have Steph, but at the same time, they have to have Draymond as well. I think obviously if they don't have one or the other, it can be bad. If they don't have both, it can be worse. So, but no, I agree with you. Before you go, two more questions. Number one, do you believe that the Warriors can win it all this season?
Oh, I mean, of course. I believe they can win it every year. If they have Klay, Steph, Draymond, and another like good, decent role player and a decent center, like they can win all the time if they wanted to. In my head, they're still 73-9. Yeah.
Hey, you said a decent center.
Yeah.
So Kevon Looney, like, he's not him?
No, like, yeah, he's a good center. Like, they're like, oh, okay. Yeah. If they have, you know, someone, if they have a team that knows how to play their roles, especially like with those three, I think they'll always be contenders. Because you can do as much as you want to stop Steph and Klay from shooting, but I mean, Steph can attack the rim as well too.
Yeah, no, I was at the barbershop today, and we were talking about Steph, how he can finish like on anybody, like his layups and how well he's able to maneuver around the big men, and how well he's able to. That takes an insane amount of strength, and I don't
control,
know if you know. If,
yes,
in control, exactly, like. I don't know if you noticed, but remember when Steph broke the 3-point record a few years ago? Mm-hmm. And that season, which is when they won the chip, that season, he was a lot like bigger. Like when you talk about like his size, like in strength, like Mans was lifting weights. And I believe, I mean, he was always lifting weights when he got to the league, but he was, I have never seen Steph really finish like with contact as much as he did that season before at all. So to your point, the man can finish. But yeah, my last question, what is your advice to anybody who is pursuing a dream or who is pursuing a career in sports? What would be your advice to the people in undergrad, to the people that are about to graduate high school? Like, what would your advice to them be?
Yeah, so I would say just keep pursuing your dream and don't give up. You know, make the connections, talk to the people, ask the questions. The worst thing people can say is no. And a lot of times people are willing and happy to help. So that's my advice. Just, you know, be willing to put yourself out there and work hard.
Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen. You all heard it from Miss Bethany Forson. Bethany, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you for taking some time and speaking with me today. I know you have a busy schedule. So as always, you know how I'm rocking with you. I'm going to see you soon and things of that nature. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of this Respectfully episode. Again, welcome Miss Bethany Fortson. We appreciate you for coming. And yeah, go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs. Appreciate you, Kim.